Okay, one pair of kebab and knuckles couple masik. Now we're switching over to focus on damaging someone else's property and all the various permutations. So we've seen this already. If a person damages his friend's property, he must pay full damages. It doesn't matter if he did it accidentally or if it was out of his control. Nonetheless, he's always considered like a someone who's damaging his other friend's the other person's property purposely. So Kate said, what's an example? So, let's say he fell off on the roof and broke someone's, let's say, glasses. Or let's say, what do you call it? He fell on it and it broke. He's got to pay full damages. The Torah never distinguishes between whether it's intentional or not. So, therefore, we assume we always treat it as intentional. It doesn't matter if the same laws apply. In any case, like for instance, you kill your friend's animal, or you break his kelim, or you tore his clothing, or you, what do you call it, cut down the crops. Hakol it's the same halacha across the board. Remember, as long as this only applies and it takes place in the domain of the person who stuff is being damaged. But it's in the domain of the person who causes the damage. He doesn't have to pay anything, unless he purposely damaged the stuff. But if it happened accidentally or out of his control, he is exempt. So too, let's say both of them were in a domain, or both of them are in an area where they can't be, and one of them injured the other person's, destroyed the other person's property unintentionally, pater, he's off the hook for paying. Let's say a person's climbing up a ladder, the nishmata shliva mitata, then one of the rungs breaks underneath him, the naflav he falls down and causes damage. So if the what do you call, let's say it find we find out that either that rung on the ladder was not put in well, or it was not strong enough that for a person to stand on, let's say that wasn't the case, it could have, but just something a freak accident happened, then I raise a putter, because we didn't say this is an act of God. All this is talking about a situation that happens in the domain of the person who got damaged. Again, if it's in the domain of the person who caused the damage, potter, actually mazik until he actually has intention to destroy the other guy's property. Let's say a person filled up the chutzner, his friend's courtyard with pitchers of wine or oil, even if he brought him in there with permission. But the owner of the courtyard did not take it upon himself to keep an eye on them. So what do you call it? If any of the jugs of wine break while he's going in and out of the chatzar, so therefore, what do you call it? And again, since the owner of the courtyard is able to go in and out normally, and that's and then so therefore we say any of the kalim that break in the normal course of the day, basically, he's pater. However, if he broke it with intent, even if the person who brought the pitchers in brought it into the Mazik's domain without his permission, and then that guy destroyed him, he's got to pay. Let's say an ox climbs on top of another ox to with the intention of killing it, right, in the property belonging to the damager, and he owns the lower ox. Whether the ox is a tam and wood, and then the owner of the lower one comes along and what do you call it, tries to save it, and in doing so, the nafa mace, the top one falls down and dies, meaning by saving the bottom one, the guy caused the top one to die. He's exempt from paying. But let's say what do you call it, the owner of the lower ox pushes the upper one and it dies. Let's say the what do you call it, he could have pulled one of the oxes away instead of pushing it, and he didn't. Then a raise a but he couldn't push the other oxes away, and this situation occurred. A raise a potter, he's exempt from paying. Okay, so bechaviso, excuse me, zebabakaraso. So two people walking in a public domain, one is carrying a jug, the other one's carrying a wooden beam. The nishvara kado shel zebabakaraso. So the guy holding the beam breaks the guy holding the barrel, the jugs. The guy holding the beam breaks the jug of his friend, shows that pata. Shows that rishus because they both have permission to walk there. Now let's say the the owner of the beam was walking ahead, and the owner of the barrel is walking behind. Minishra chavis v'kara, and the barrel gets broken with the beam. Pater. Masao. However, if the owner of the beam stood still to rest because it's so heavy, and then the jug breaks it, the pitcher breaks as a result of that, then he's chai. But if the owner of the beam warned the guy who's owning the jug and says, "Listen, I'm going to stand still for a little while," and then the jug breaks, then the guy who owns the beam is off the hook. Amalisake maso alav. Let's say the owner of the beam stood up to adjust the beam that he's carrying. Harizikamahalef. At that point, it's considered like he's walking with it. Upatar. He's exempt. That if he damages the kad. That official hizal balachavas. Even didn't warn the owner of the barrel of the jug. Shrehu tarav because he is focused on his walking. Hayavalachavas rishon achron. Let's say the owner of the jug is walking first, and the owner of the beam is behind him. Vinishra chavis v'kara. And then the jug gets broken by the beam. Chai. Because we say it's like the guy broke it with his hands with intent. But if the owner of the jug, what do you call it? The owner of the jug stood up to rest, then he's potter. If the beam guy broke it, then his or the balakora. But if he warned the owner of the beam, and he says, "Listen, I'm going to stand here for a second," then he's a chayav. If the owner of the jug gets up to fix his weight, even though he didn't warn the owner of the beam, are you chayev? The same halacha would apply for someone carrying a lamp, the other one's carrying, for instance, a wick or flax and things like this. Hey, look at this. Hold on. Shnayim. Let's say two people walking in the public domain. Echad ratza, echad mahalech. One is running and one is walking. And one of them was injured by the other without intent. So the person running is obligated to pay because what he called because he's not acting normally. So it's like, but let's say it took place Friday afternoon after sunset before Seis. Pater. Why? Why? The reason why he's running because he's not ready to accept Shabbos yet. Let's say they're both running and one injures the other. They're both off the hook. Even on a regular day. Now, it doesn't matter if the injury takes place by someone's hand against the property, or Shazark Evan, or Yara Chetz, Vezikbo, or if he threw a stone, or if he shot an arrow and caused damage. Mayim, or if he, what do you call it, he opened up some water, like a faucet on his friend, O Al Kalim, or on his vessels, Behizik, and he got damaged. O Shirak, O Na, Behizik, Bekiko, Venio, Beisha, or let's say he, what do you call it, he spits or sneezes, and he causes some kind of damage with the spit that comes out of him. Harizik and mazik b'yadav. These are all considered different versions of damaging with someone's hand and the derivatives. About im nacharok al. Let's say the spit came to the ground, and then only afterwards alakrak niska behen adam, and only afterwards a person slipped on it. Then harizik chayv mishum baro. Then he's chayv because of the halacha of a cistern in the public domain, or creating a cistern. She called takala told us more. He can motion around it because any obstacle, as we've seen before, is considered to be a derivative of the halacha of bor. Now, lotesh, let's say a blacksmith is making a hammer. You see me using his hammer to bang a metal. We also have gats and tachas patish, and a little spark flies out from underneath the hammer. The hizik can cause a damage, or he's a chayav. He's obligated to pay. Kadei kamisha zarach chayt zarach evans. No different than throwing a stone. Let's say a contractor goes ahead and he's gonna tear down a wall. The sasro, the shavras have on him, and the stones break or hits it or cause damage. Chai, I associate with sadev, not from sadakar pata. However, if he tears it down from one side and it causes stones on the other side to fall down, then he's exempt. However, if it's because of the blow that he placed on it, then he's chayav shizek kazara chetz v'hizik bohu. Because again, it's like he's throwing and he's shooting an arrow, so to speak, and therefore he'd be chayav. Base hakovish behemas chaver mayim. If a person takes his friend's animal and tries to drown it. Or what do you call it? Either he holds it under the water, or the animal fell in the water and he prevents it from coming up out of the water. Either two cases of drowning. Or he left the animal in the sun and made sure it couldn't move so that the heat of the sun would kill it. He must pay. Let's say two people kill an animal together. Oh, Shibra, Osa, Pleak, Achas, they break the plea together. Mishal, Shibra, Naam, they have to split the payment between them. Let's see, five people put five different packages on the back of the animal, didn't die. But the last guy comes along, and he puts the sixth package on, the mesa, and the animal dies. So if it's what do you call it? If the animal is walking while carrying the other packages, when he added that last package, it stopped. Didn't walk at all. The last guy's. But if it wasn't walking at all from the carrying the burdens, carrying the packages, then Akron Potter, then the last guy put on his Potter. No one knows. Kulon they all pay equally. So two, five people sit in a chair and it doesn't break. And the last guy comes along and sits on the chair with these guys and it breaks. Even if it could have broken before he sat, since the last guy is the one who's bringing it to its breaking culmination, he's a chayav. They'll say to him, because they'll say to him, had you not used it for supporting, I would have stood up before it broke. That they sat down all at the same time, and it broke. They're all on the hook to pay. Okay, final level design. All right, let's say a person, what do you call it? When it comes, let's say a person, and a person and an ox together pushed an animal or a kli or a person or an animal that was that can't be used in the mikdash into a hole and pit, the huzak and nidchaf b'bor, right? And the person or the animal that was pushed in gets injured or dies and nishtar with him or they can't break. Adam shlushdan. So what do you call it? The three, what do you call it? If the person, the animal pushed the if the person, the animal that was pushed into the cistern, let's say died, for instance, all three, meaning who do all three here? So you have the Adam, the person, Hadochef, who's pushing, Ubal Ashor, the owner of the ox, Ubal Mor, and the owner of the cistern. So you have all three are liable here, Moshashvanim. Therefore, divide the payments. The Inyan Dmei Vlados, right? Varbad Varim, when it comes to the amount paying for the, let's say, fetus or offspring and the four things that a person has to pay. But the owner of the ox and the owner of the cistern are part of those. Then in Kofar, when it comes to the extra atonement payment, Ushloshim, Shel Eved, as well as the 30 amount that you pay for the servant, Baal Shor Chai, the owner of the animal, is obligated. However, the person who pushed it, as well as the owner of the cistern, are part of. Then in Kiyam Tzulmudash, when it comes to the glasses were broken or the animals that were disqualified from the Mikdash, Adam of Baal Shor Chai, the person who pushed, as well as the owner of the ox are on the hook. However, the owner of the cistern is Pata. That ends Parag Vav, and we will continue with Parag Zion tomorrow.